On the morning of October 30, 1918, Colonel Thomas Edward Lawrence received a summons to Buckingham Palace. The King had requested his presence. The collective mood in London that day was euphoric. For the past 4 years and 3 months, Great Britain and much of the rest of the world had been consumed by the bloodiest conflict in recorded history, one that had claimed the lives of some 16 million people across 3 continents. Now, with a speed that scarcely could have been imagined mere weeks earlier, it was all coming to an end. On that same day, one of Great Britain's 3 principal foes, the Ottoman Empire, was accepting peace terms, and the remaining 2, Germany and Austria-Hungary, would shortly follow suit. Colonel Lawrence's contribution to that war effort had been in its Middle Eastern theater, and he too was caught quite off guard by its rapid close. At the beginning of that month, he had still been in the field assisting in the capture of Damascus, an event that heralded the collapse of the Ottoman army. Back in England for less than a week, he was already consulting with those senior British statesmen and generals tasked with mapping out the post-war borders of the Middle East, a once fanciful endeavor that had now become quite urgent. Lawrence was apparently under the impression that his audience with King George V that morning was to discuss these ongoing deliberations. He was mistaken. Once at the palace, the 30-year-old colonel was ushered into a ballroom where, flanked by a half-dozen dignitaries and a coterie of costumed courtiers, the king and queen soon entered. A low cushioned stool had been placed just before the king's raised dais, while to the monarch's immediate right, the Lord Chamberlain held a velvet pillow on which an array of medals rested. After introductions were made, George V fixed his guest with a smile. "I have some presents for you." As a student of British history, Colonel Lawrence knew precisely what was about to occur. The pedestal was an investiture stool, upon which he was to kneel as the king performed the elaborate, centuries-old ceremony. The conferring of a sash and the medals on the pillow, the tapping with a sword, and the intoning of an oath that would make him a Knight Commander of the Order of the British Empire. It was a moment T.E. Lawrence had long dreamed of. As a boy, he was obsessed with medieval history and the tales of King Arthur's court, and his greatest ambition, he once wrote, was to be knighted by the age of 30. On that morning, his youthful aspiration was about to be fulfilled. A couple of details added to the honor. Over the past 4 years, King George had given out so many commendations and medals to his nation's soldiers that even knighthoods were now generally bestowed en masse. In the autumn of 1918, a private investiture like Lawrence's was practically unheard of. Also unusual was the presence of Queen Mary. She normally eschewed these sorts of ceremonies, but she had been so stirred by the accounts of T.E. Lawrence's wartime deeds as to make an exception in his case. Except Lawrence didn't kneel. Instead, just as the ceremony got underway, he quietly informed the king that he was refusing the honor. There followed a moment of confusion. Over the 900-year history of the monarchy, the refusal of knighthood was such an extraordinary event that there was no protocol for how to handle it. Eventually, King George returned to the Lord Chamberlain's pillow the medal he had been awkwardly holding, and under the baleful gaze of a furious Queen Mary, Colonel Lawrence turned and walked away. Today, more than 7 decades after his death, and nearly a century since the exploits that made him famous, Thomas Edward Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, as he is better known, remains one of the most enigmatic and controversial figures of the 20th century. Despite scores of biographies, countless scholarly studies, and at least 3 movies, including one considered a masterpiece, historians have never quite decided what to make of the young, bashful Oxford scholar who rode into battle at the head of an Arab army and changed history. One reason for the contentiousness over his memory has to do with the terrain he traversed. Lawrence was both eyewitness to and participant in some of the most pivotal events leading to the creation of the modern Middle East, and this is a corner of the earth where even the simplest assertion is dissected and parsed and argued over. In the unending debates over the roots of that region's myriad fault lines, Lawrence has been alternately extolled and pilloried, sanctified demonized, even diminished to a footnote, as political goals require. Then there was Lawrence's own personality. A supremely private and hidden man, he seemed intent on baffling all those who would try to know him. A natural leader of men, or a charlatan? A man without fear, or both a moral and physical coward? Long before any of his biographers, it was Lawrence who first attached these contradictory characteristics, and many others, to himself.